I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works.
I've been traveling here in this life with its heartache, trouble, and strife. Sometimes Satan tries to tell me to turn aside. I say, Satan, get thee behind. No returning in me, you'll find. I'm too near my heavenly home where I'll abide.
I'm too near
home with my Lord
to
miss home and heaven's reward.
I'm not returning
to sin.
I made my vow.
There's nothing to go back to.
Oh, praise God,
heaven's in view.
I'm too near
my
heavenly home, and
I'll
not turn back now.
There is joy in going this way. It gets sweeter every day. My dear Lord is leading the way to realms above. He'll be with me until the end. Be my Savior, God, and my friend. I'll arrive in heaven, the home of perfect love.
I'm too near
home with my Lord
to
miss home and heaven's reward.
I'm not returning
to sin.
I made my vow.
There's nothing to go back to.
Oh, praise God,
heaven's in view.
I'm too near
my
heavenly home,
and
I'll not turn back now.
Just one glimpse inside the home gate. See the friends and loved ones who wait. Will be worth whatever the cost to make it through. I would not give up in the race. I'll continue by the Lord's grace. I'm too near that wonderful home beyond the blue.
I'm too near
home with my Lord
to
miss home and heaven's reward.
I'm not returning
to sin.
I made my vow.
There's nothing to go back to.
Oh, praise God,
heaven's in view.
I'm too near
my
heavenly
home,
and I'll not turn back now.
I'm too near
home with my Lord
to miss
sweet heaven's reward.
I'm not returning
to sin.
I made my vow.
There's nothing
to go back to.
Oh, praise God,
heaven's in view.
I'm too near
my
heavenly home,
and
I'll not
turn back,
turn back now.
I hope that's your testimony, and indeed it can be, if you're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Voice of Hope, and I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. Thank you for joining me. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international media ministry sharing the good news of Jesus Christ around the world in English and 24 other languages. We use radio, print, and digital platforms to reach as many people as we possibly can with the message of the gospel. One of our newest projects is in Northwest Kenya. Just a few days ago, our Bible teaching broadcasts began airing in Juba Arabic in northern Kenya and South Sudan. There are hundreds of thousands of people in this region who speak Juba Arabic and many others that can understand it. Our local partner there in Kenya, Good News for the North, will produce and air our programs for FM and shortwave radio, as well as for podcasting. Along with our Kenyan partners, we're excited to see what the Lord will do with this new area of outreach.
Far and near, the fields are teeming with the waves of ripe and grain. Far and near, their gold is gleaming o'er the sunny slope and plain. Lord of harvest, send forth reapers, hear us, Lord, to thee we cry. Send them now the sheaves to gather ere the harvest time pass by. Send them forth with more first beaming, send them in the noontide's glare, when the sun's last rays are gleaming, bid them gather everywhere. Lord of harvest, send forth reapers, hear us, Lord, to thee we cry. She's to gather ere the harvest time pass by. O thou whom thy Lord is sending, gather now the sheaves of gold. Heavenward then at evening wending, thou shalt
Once again, you're listening to The Voice of Hope, and today we're continuing our study in the Old Testament book of Joel. Now, last week we began looking at Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, under the title, The Return of Messiah. In this text, Joel informs us of several distinct actions that will accompany the return of Messiah at the end of the age. These actions should provide both hope and comfort for you and me today. The first action we looked at was, the Spirit is appointed, and we noted the promise of God that in the last days he would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And then we looked at Peter's quotation of these verses in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. By looking at the details of the text, it gives us the distinct impression that there is a greater fulfillment of this prophecy that is still to come. And then the second action we began looking at last time was, the signs are appointed. You'll remember what those were when I read our text in just a few moments. But suffice to say that none of those cosmic disturbances were evident at the time of Pentecost. So with that introduction, I will read Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, and then we'll continue our study, The Return of Messiah. Here is the Word of God. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. In verses 30 and 31, Joel describes scenes that are often associated with the destruction of war. Bloodshed is prominent, and blood will be poured out in abundance during the Great Tribulation. When the fourth seal judgment is opened in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 8, 1/4 of the world's population will be killed. Tremendous bloodshed. The trumpet judgments of Revelation 8 and 9 tell us that another 1/3 of human and sea life will be destroyed. And then during the bowl judgments, what remains of the sea will be turned into blood. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 3. And then in Revelation 14 we read, "So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs, or stadia." That is a tremendous amount of blood, about 184 miles worth. And then fire is predicted by Joel as another one of the signs. Again, Revelation gives us numerous pictures of the fires of judgment. At the opening of the seventh seal, Revelation 8:5, "Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thundering, lightning, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up." And then further, we read in Revelation 16, "Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory." And we also know where there's fire, there's smoke. "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke from the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God in their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man." That's Revelation chapter 9 and verses 1 to 5. And then Revelation 18 informs us about the merchants and their lament of the fall of the great economic empire of Babylon. "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?'" So Joel's predictions remind us of some of the plagues God sent on the land of Egypt and the signs that accompanied the Lord's presence when he came down on Mount Sinai to meet with Moses and the children of Israel. You know, God as the Creator controls all his creation, and he's able to do what he says he will do, even if you and I don't understand how it can be done. So cosmic disturbances will herald the final judgment. These signs will be associated with the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. So far, we've looked at two actions that will accompany the return of Messiah: the Spirit apportioned and the signs appointed. Now let's look at the final action that will accompany the return of Messiah. It is the salvation is assured. Knowing what we do about the horrors of the Great Tribulation may lead us to ask this question: will anyone escape that terrible day of the Lord? Well, hear what Jesus said in Matthew 24 about this time. "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world, until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. The final verse of our text, as well as other portions of Scripture, agree with what Jesus said. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Now immediately we notice two things. First of all, the assurance of salvation, or literally escape. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. To be saved is to be delivered from something. In this case, it's to be delivered from both physical and spiritual destruction. And then secondly, in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, those are specific geographic locations, there shall be deliverance. If my understanding is correct, the words saved and deliverance in our English Bibles are translated from the same Hebrew word, and it emphasizes the goodness of God in preserving a remnant rather than allowing His people to be liquidated. Paul quotes this statement by Joel in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, where he's speaking about Israel's future salvation. The prophet Zechariah tells us, "It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad Rimmon in the plain of Megiddo." That's Zechariah chapter 12 and verses 9 through 11. And then this same prophet further describes this day and the remnant of Israel in chapter 13. He says, "And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die, but 1/3 shall be left in it. I will bring the 1/3 through the fire and refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, 'This is my people,' and each one will say, 'The Lord is my God.'" You know, those words remind me so much of the book of Hosea. And then very early in Israel's history, Moses seems to speak of this time in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verses 30 and 31. Listen to what he wrote. "When you are in distress," the footnote says tribulation, "and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, he will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them." You know, for centuries now, Jewish people have been buried on the Mount of Olives facing the Temple Mount. I've had the privilege of visiting Israel. I have seen those graves, and they are packed together as tightly as possible because there's only so much space available. And I learned that it costs many thousands of dollars to be buried there. Those who are buried there hope to be resurrected when Messiah comes and then enter the city with him. But sad to say, unless they accept Jesus as Messiah, that won't be their destiny. In this final verse of the text, Joel presents a clear understanding of salvation. He says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered, and those who are delivered will be the remnant that God calls." So here you have clear teaching on the interaction of divine sovereignty and man's free will. The Lord will call an escaped remnant, and those among that group will be whoever calls on the name of the Lord. Just like our personal salvation, Israel's future deliverance won't be a result of ingenuity or luck or fate. Any escape from the power of sin for us today, or the power of physical death in this future time, are only possible because God wills it and determines it. Recall with me the words of Jesus in John 6:44. He said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." God takes the initiative in our salvation, and then we have the choice of how we will respond. It will be the same for Israel in this future day of the Lord. To call on the name of the Lord is to call on Him in believing faith. It is to worship God exclusively and consistently. Think of the experience of Elijah on Mount Carmel. In that contest between Baal and Jehovah, Elijah said, "Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, He is God." So what Elijah was doing was he was calling the people to place a believing faith in the God who answered by fire. Calling on the name of the Lord also carries the meaning of acknowledging our faith openly, publicly, in a hostile environment. Many of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world already know what this is like. They experience it every day. So think about that, and then think about the decision of Jewish people to publicly identify with Jesus the Messiah during these events leading up to the day of the Lord, when evil will be almost totally ascendant, totally in control. It will be the equivalent of putting a target on your back. Now, in this setting that Joel is describing for us, a believing faith provides not only a physical deliverance, but a spiritual transformation and an abundant entrance into that great millennial period of peace and prosperity. Judah and Jerusalem once again become spiritual centers for a redeemed Israel. A companion passage there would be Micah chapter 4 and verses 6 to 8. Now, I admit to you that there is much we don't know about these events and how they will unfold, so we need to be gracious in our disagreements, and we need to be humble in our conclusions. But one thing we know for sure is that whatever God has promised, He will fulfill. And that should provide comfort and encouragement for us, no matter what the future may hold for us personally. Like the church in much of the world today, those of us who live in the West may be called to go through a time of suffering, a time of purifying, a time of refining. The Scriptures repeatedly warn us that as we approach the end of the age, evil will intensify and opposition to God and to His people will increase. And so we should be preparing ourselves and our children and our grandchildren to stand firm in the faith, regardless of what that's going to cost. And as we contemplate that, we must not live in fear of such a time, because God has promised that He will never leave us or forsake us. In Mark 13, Jesus promised that He will provide what we need under those circumstances, even to the point of giving us the words to speak when we're called to answer our ungodly, vindictive authorities. However, I would add this, if we're not in the habit of listening to the Holy Spirit's voice now, we could miss hearing Him in that very difficult time. The prophets, Jesus, and the apostles all spoke clearly about the signs that will foreshadow the end of the age. We know that evil has existed ever since the fall of mankind, but the technology of our times makes it visible in unprecedented ways. Clearly, we are living in the last times. I also learned just recently that the Jewish Talmud states that the history of the world is comprised of six eras of 1,000 years each. The final millennium mirrors the seventh day of creation, and it's a time of rest known as the millennium of Messiah. I find that interesting. So what are you and I to make of all this? Well, the most important action you can take to prepare for the return of Messiah is to make Him your Savior and Lord if you haven't already done that. Because without Him, you have no hope and no future. He is the only one who can save you from sin and from self-destruction in the present and from eternal punishment in the future. So don't wait until it's too late and the Spirit of God no longer calls you to repentance. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Remember something. You can only come to Him when He calls, not when you decide you're ready. And then further, pay attention to what's going on around you. I meet people, even professing Christians, who are so caught up in the present, they don't have time to think about the future. They're distracted by all the things this world has to offer, and they're too busy working hard, playing hard, and pursuing earthly pleasures to give much thought to where we are on God's timeline of history. Don't be like that. Jesus warned us to watch and pray lest we fall into temptation. It would be tragic to live like the five foolish virgins and to miss the coming of the bridegroom. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready for the return of Messiah?
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross is home, is home. The way of the cross is home, is home. Is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross is home.
Were you blessed by today's teaching? If you'd like to review this teaching or share it with someone, you may request a complete copy of the teaching. It will include the teaching from our previous program combined with what you heard today. It's available either in print or as a digital audio file. Just ask for the teaching by its title, The Return of Messiah. Now, the easiest way for you to contact us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. That's hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or, of course, you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. To review today's teaching or listen to archived programs, just log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen when it's convenient for you. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. And if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now don't forget to join me next week for the Voice of Hope as we continue our study in the book of Joel. My teaching will be titled, A Day of Retribution. And until we meet again,
I don't know exactly how sweet heaven will be. I don't know what beauty or what glory I'll see. I don't know what I'll behold that morning divine. I only know for sure that heaven's really gonna shine.
It's gonna shine.
It's gonna shine.
It's gonna shine.
Oh yes, I know.
No, I surely know.
It's gonna shine.
Really gonna shine.
There's glory in this soul of mine.
In this soul of mine,
because I
know for sure that heaven's really gonna shine.
I don't know how wide will be that city so fair.
So fair.
I don't even know how many saints will be there. I don't know how high will be that mansion of mine.
I only know
for sure that heaven's really gonna shine.
It's gonna shine.
It's gonna shine.
It's gonna shine.
Heaven's gonna shine.
Oh, yes, I know.
No, I surely know.
It's gonna shine.
Really gonna shine.
There's glory.
There is glory in this
soul of mine.
In this soul of mine,
because I know
for sure that heaven's really gonna shine.